And good evening. This is a joint broadcast coming to you live on Facebook Live. We'll also be doing our podcast. So a combination of both things on the End Time Bible Prophecy podcast along doing Facebook Live, which we haven't done in a while, going on Facebook Live. So hopefully you're blessed upon tonight on the lesson that we're going to present. Very important lesson. And we're going to get ready to dive in to our lesson. And we're going to go ahead and start off. So tonight's title, we'll be dealing with the Son of Man was false teachers, cults, and other religions view Jesus. A lot of people have a view or notion of Jesus, and we get excited when we hear other people that aren't Christian talk about Jesus. And then we're like, well, they really talked about Jesus. And I know a couple of years ago, Louis Farrakhan was talking about Jesus, and people were posting it. Said he must have came to the truth, and because he was preaching about Jesus and he really preached. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We're going to dive into that. We're going to really examine that, and we're going to go ahead and move forward. So let's look at the scriptures. That's the main important thing. Let's start off with the scriptures to set our foundation. When we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, and it reads, the King James, this is from the King James, our new King James version, says, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard and was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. So here we are. We're examining what the spirit of Antichrist is. Those people that are of God will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, but every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It is the spirit. This is the very essence of the spirit of Antichrist. So Antichrist could be something in place of or something against. So what we're going to examine is what the spirit of Antichrist is putting something in place of the biblical Jesus, that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. We have people like Oprah Winfrey, who knows all the Christian lingo and will talk about Jesus and have gospel brunches and Sunday celebrations and everything, but she really talks about Christ consciousness, which is very new age, very Luciferian, very contrary to the word of God, very contrary to biblical Judeo-Christianity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. It says, for if he who comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So you have several different people that preach a different Jesus. It's a different spirit. So we have to be aware of that. And we have to look, just because somebody is mentioning the name of Jesus. What Jesus are they talking about? What Jesus are they celebrating? What Jesus are they actually expressing? Is it from the word of God, or it's from their own teachings, or from their own guru? So we have to be very much spiritually aware, and really, especially in these last and evil days, Jesus says that there will arise false prophets. Several times he mentions that, and false Christ. Let's go ahead and proceed. Want to make sure I'm not getting, all right. Trying to keep up with the slides, amen. So let's look at the difference between the Son of Man with Ezekiel and Jesus as the Son of Man. We've taught in times past lesson, Son of Man, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. But the Son of Man, or the Son of Humanity, sounds like it should be described as terrestrial human being. After all, God calls the earthly Ezekiel, Son of Man, or Ben Adam, almost 100 times when we look at the book of Ezekiel. So shouldn't Jesus' self-application of Son of Man mean the same thing? But Ezekiel is written in Hebrew, and Jesus would have spoken during the time period that he walked this earth. He spoke Aramaic. The two languages are related, the Son of Man, and means something very different in the Aramaic text of Daniel than it does than the book or Hebrew within the book of Ezekiel. In night vision, Daniel sees one like the Son of Man, Bar Anish, approaching the heavenly throne of the clouds and receiving divine dominion and glory from God, which is Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. In Aramaic, the Son of Man denotes divinity. One note that Jesus used the term, which you can go, and if you're good Bible students, you can read this throughout the Gospels. You can read this throughout even in John, that Son of Man was largely the term that he used more than he used Christ, more than he used as the Son of God, more than he used than the Son of David. He used the Son of Man, which denoted divinity, which upset when the Pharisees heard him use this term, which we'll get a little bit into latter part of this teaching. They became upset because they knew he just wasn't referring to himself being a human man, but being divine, being God manifested in the flesh. That's what he was talking about. So we're going to go ahead and move on, because Jesus is more than just a man. He is the all. He is God manifested in the flesh. Let's look first of all at Word of Faith teacher Kenneth Copeland and how he really views Jesus, because we can look at other non-cult groups or other groups that are not Christian, but we can justify sometimes our favorite preachers, our favorite teachers who come on TBN and come on Daystar and promote American Christianity, but not biblically sound. You can look at Kenneth Copeland and look at that. That man has some demon spirits just looking at his eyes, and just all the false prophecies and just other things that he presents. So anytime when you see Kenneth Copeland had prophesied that COVID would end soon and there would be a vaccine, all these other things in on early 2020, and the pandemic prolonged a whole lot longer, which proves one of the things that he can't be trusted as a prophet, first of all. And then also too, the other thing is when somebody is off prophetically or speaking prophetically, they're off in their teachings, because you'll know them by their fruit. So here's Copeland and the Jesus of Kenneth Copeland, which he wrote. He says, why didn't Jesus openly proclaim himself as God during 33 years on earth? For one single reason, he hadn't come to earth as God. He came as a man. People that hold belief of this, not just Kenneth Copeland, you have Bill Johnson of Bethel Reading. You have Todd White, who is Kenneth Copeland's, Kenneth Copeland is one of Todd White's mentors, believe that Jesus was just a man empowered by the Holy Spirit when he walked the earth. So here you have Kenneth Copeland saying that Jesus was just a man. He wasn't God. He never proclaimed he's God. That's why I started off setting a foundation, the term Son of Man, because Jesus is referring to his divinity, that he is God, that he's 100% man and he's 100% God. So it kind of debunks what Copeland has to say. So when we move on and we progress to look at other things that Copeland had to say about Jesus, here's something that Copeland claims he received this prophecy from Jesus, which he states the following: they crucified me for claiming I was God. But I didn't claim I was God. I just claimed I walked with him and that he was in me. Hallelujah. Now, this is blasphemous, because here he proclaims this is a false Holy Spirit, number one, that he's got this prophecy from Jesus. What Jesus is he referring to? We already read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. It's a different Jesus. It's a different spirit. It's a familiar spirit that's working through this man, that's speaking things that are contrary to the word of God. So he states that Jesus gave him this prophecy and that he never claimed to be God. This is unadulterated, the spirit of Antichrist and preaching another Jesus. When we look at Copeland and Christian, so-called Christian ministers, they can really transform themselves into an angel of light. When we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. So we have to really be in the frame of mind that everything that we based on is not emotions. It's not based on feel-good sermons. It's not based on us, how eloquent the preacher may preach. Oh, he preached down the house. We have to be given a careful ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, making sure things are line up on line, precept on precept. We got to make sure that people are preaching and teaching biblically correct, God-given, Holy Spirit-given doctrine, and not being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Every person that seems like they have glitter and glitz, that has a big following, we have to maintain standards and biblical truth. Amen. Let's examine, because people see Mormons riding on their bicycles, and these young Mormons who go on their mission trips, and they're walking around with black slacks and a white shirt and tie, and they're committed Church of the Latter-day Saints, and spreading the message of the Latter-day Saints and going door to door to bring what they think is truth. But a lot of these people I feel sorry for, because some of them don't even know some of the doctrines that's within their organizations, within their group. And also, here is the Jesus of Mormonism. So Mormonism, like even the creator of The Chosen TV series that's really popular, and some other things that he's produced or co-produced with other so-called Christians and all, people that aren't really grounded in biblical truth think, oh, you know, Mormons are Christians too, and they're saved because they know all the Christian lingo. They know how to put all the things together and all. And we read the scripture how Satan's messengers can transform themselves into an angel of light. So here's what Mormons believe. The Mormon Jesus says God the Father is married to his goddess wife and has spirit children. They also believe that Jesus and Lucifer are spirit brothers, and we are all born as siblings in heaven to both. So everybody's born to being spiritual brothers in heaven, and are siblings to either Jesus or Lucifer, which they believe that Jesus and Lucifer are actual brothers. This, so we see this in their writings in Mormon doctrine. It states this as their own truth. It talks about another Jesus. And another person I wanted, before I progress, because I talked about the individual that writes and produce the TV series, The Chosen, is Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is very much a popular conservative news talking head, started The Blaze and everything that. But what a lot of people tend to ignore, that Glenn Beck is very much a devout Mormon and really espouses Mormon doctrine when you look at some of his books and some of his writings, which we've talked about in times past. Let's look at, see some other. So when we progress and we look at Jehovah's Witness or Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. When we look at Jehovah's Witness writing, volume 2, page 393 through 394, Insights on Scriptures of Jehovah's Witnesses, which is the source, it says, since God's word nowhere indicates that there are two armies of faithful angels in heaven, one headed by Michael and headed by Jesus, it's logical to conclude that the angel Michael is none other than Jesus Christ and his heavenly role. So they believe that the Archangel Michael, when Jesus walked the earth, and then when Jesus died and ascended back into heaven, he assumed being back the Archangel of Michael. What people don't tend to know, this is the spirit of Antichrist, because denies that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. That's why when we look at biblically, that when it says that Jesus is God's only begotten son, it's talking about that Jesus was not created. Jesus was he's the Alpha and the Omega. He always existed. It wasn't like all of a sudden he was created. And then even when we look, another lesson within itself talks about the angelic hosts being sons of God. They're created beings, but yet and still, Michael's a created being, Lucifer is a created being, but yet and still, they're not begotten son, because begotten son means, it's talking about Jesus' divinity. It's talking about him being God manifested in the flesh. So Jehovah's Witnesses from the surface. They do a lot of good works, it seems like. They go door knocking. It seems like they're very faithful to their faith. But that's the great deception that Satan brings. If Satan can't get you duped into worshiping him outright, being a Luciferian or a Satanist and following all those principles, he gives many other paths to distract you, to use a broad road to take a lot of people down the road of destruction and hell. Now, we look at the nation of Islam. Here's what I really want to hit on, because I know several years ago, Minister Farrakhan was preaching at a Christian church somewhere on the East Coast, and he was, and don't get it twisted, Farrakhan is a very excellent, very prolific, very eloquent speaker. The man can put stuff together, but is he saved? Does he follow the biblical Jesus? So I've seen people that was friends with Facebook, people that are bishops and other things and all, were posting the sermon. Oh, he done came to the truth. And even Charisma Magazine was talking about how Farrakhan was preaching about Jesus, but they wasn't giving really an ear to hear. Was he really talking about the biblical Jesus? So when we look at doctrine and teachings of the nation of Islam, it says Jesus himself said that he was not God, and the coming of Jesus was not the coming of God. This is found in Muhammad, Our Savior Has Arrived, page 146. So here, even when Farrakhan was preaching that message, if you look at it, I believe it was done in 2020, the whole entirety, which examine some of Nation of Islam's teachings and doctrines. When he's referencing Jesus, which I'll move on to the next part, which will be in context, he's not talking about the biblical Jesus, because he says that's the historical Jesus. He's making reference to Wallace Fard Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and himself being the actual prophetic Jesus, and the historical Jesus is not really the Jesus that the Bible is really talking about. It's talking about the prophetic Jesus that will come. So that the historical Jesus that the Bible talks about only fulfilled a certain portion of everything, but he's not really the Jesus that it's talking about. So when we look at the emphasis of the nation of Islam and the thought process of three messiahs, the three Jesus of the nation of Islam, like I already mentioned, they look at Wallace Fard Muhammad, which is the founder of the nation of Islam. They look at Elijah Muhammad, which was Wallace Fard Muhammad's predecessor. They look at Louis Farrakhan, are viewed as the triad of deified mortals, that Jesus over the Jesus of the Bible. So they view themselves over the Jesus of the Bible. So when Farrakhan is talking about Jesus and people, and Christian folks, he's talking about Jesus. He's preaching good. He's not talking about the biblical Jesus. He's not referencing the biblical Jesus. He's giving reference to his successors, are the people that he has succeeded, and within this triad of leaders that have governed and have been over the nation of Islam as the true Jesus, and demotes the biblical Jesus. So therefore, he's preaching another gospel. He's preaching another Jesus, folks. So when we look at Islam, Islam says that Allah has no son. When we look at Surah 17:111 says, and say, all praise be to Allah, who has neither taken to himself a son, nor has any partner in his kingdom, nor does he need anyone out of weakness to protect him. So glorify him in the manner of the worthy of glory. So here we see this writing within the writings of the Quran, and it's talking about that God has no son. That is definitely fulfilling what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, that Allah has no son, is the spirit of Antichrist. Here's some views what we see within Islam and in the Hadith. Besides, you have the Quran, which is the holy book, but you have the Hadith, which is the writings of Islam. It's kind of like commentaries and other things about the life of the Prophet Muhammad and some other things and all. But here's what they believe about Jesus. So it's a different Jesus. It says, Jesus, peace be upon him, will come and will perform the obligatory prayers behind the Mahdi and follow him. So they believe that Jesus is, or Isa, is just a prophet, not the Son of God, not God manifested in the flesh, a good man that will follow the Mahdi, which is the Islamic Messiah, and follow him. So when you're hearing about all Muslims, they talk about Jesus, you have to really be able to rightfully divide the word. And folks, we need to not so much get into a lot of emotional hype and some other things and all. We really need to promote being Bereans in these last and evil days, taking out the time to really study the word of God and breaking, rightfully dividing the word of God. We have to really focus and make sure that we are zeroing in on the truth of God's word, because that's why people are so deceived and people are so quick to join a communal group where you're able to lay down or bypass biblical truth just to make peace and line up with lies and follow the broad road. So when we look at other writings within the Hadith, it says, Allah's apostle said, by him in whose hands my soul is, son of Mary, Jesus will shortly descend amongst you Muslims as just ruler and will break the cross and kill the pig and abolish the jizya, which is a tax taken from non-Muslims who are in protection of Muslim government. Then there will be an abundance of money and nobody will accept charitable. So this is Isa, or the Jesus of Islam, or within the Hadith. Now we move on and we look at the Jesus of Freemasonry. Everybody, it's funny how every religion, every group has a view of Jesus, but you don't see every group, every religion have a view of Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. Everybody has a view or some type of view, have their own Jesus. So we have to be, will the real Jesus please stand up? We have to stand on biblical truths and just state the fact that biblical truth says that Jesus was not only God, or not only a man, but not only a good teacher, not only a prophet, but he was God manifested in the flesh who came to save the lost souls on this world, to save sinners from going to hell. So we look at the writings of Albert Pike and Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike states this. He says, Jesus was just a man, which pause right there. Definitely when he states that, that's the spirit of Antichrist. He says, he was one of the exemplars, one of the great men in the past, but not divine. Certainly not only means of redemption of lost mankind. He was on the level with other great men of the past, like Aristotle, Plato, Pythagoras, Muhammad. His life and legend were no different from Krishna, the Hindu god. He is the son of Joseph and not the son of God. Nor can he, the Christian Mason, object, as others see in Jesus, only the logos of Plato and the world are utter thought, a first emanation of light, are the perfect reason of the great silent supreme uncreated deity believed in and adored by all. So even the Masons have their own Jesus, but it's not that they preach and promote another Jesus. So see how Satan spins a web, a deception in all these different groups, all these different religions, all these different cults of making people think, well, Jesus is this. Jesus is the Archangel Michael. Oh, Jesus is not the Son of God. He's just the son of Joseph. Oh, Jesus is a good man. He's not God, but he is a prophet. And then, oh, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. And then you hear Kenneth Copeland talk about Jesus never claimed he was God, just all these different things. And if you're not really studying your Bible and really asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, the Holy Spirit will not just lead and guide you into some truth. It will lead and guide you into all truth. You know, I come from a Pentecostal background, and people always push speaking in tongues, but there are other gifts of the Spirit, like discernment. People major on speaking in tongues, oh, and then prophesying, but you don't hear people, all right, we're going to teach on the gift of the Spirit of discernment, that you're able to discern what's good, what's bad, because you wouldn't have so many people that become apostate Christians if, first of all, if they really have a full love of God and was able and be grounded in biblical truth, that they would be walking in discernment. It would be a hard task to deceive them. I want to get into the last part of our lesson, is talking about what Judaism, especially what evolved from the Pharisees to what we see modern day Judaism, which is not based on the Torah. The Pharisees did not base their teachings on the Torah. They based on the written law of Moses, is the oral law that came from Babylon, the Babylonian Talmud, which a lot of things that the Pharisees were the group that were like the last man standing after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. There were no more Sadducees and some of the other these groups, which evolved the Pharisees, last man standing, which evolved into rabbinic Judaism, which is spread throughout the centuries. And then also too, there's an anti-evangelism law that's trying to be established. I don't know if it's passed there in Israel, banning the evangelism for Christians or Messianic Jews to evangelize people. So there's still a great hatred to this day of Jesus, and they view Jesus in a total different different way. So when we examine the scriptures, and it's going to make, it's going to pull in context what we started off earlier with when we talked about the term Son of Man. When Daniel's talking about Son of Man, it's a different context than what Ezekiel's is referring to himself being the Son of Man. Ezekiel's being referred to the Son of Man as a man. Daniel, when he's using that term in the Aramaic, is talking about Jesus being divine, Jesus being our, it's talking about a man being God, which we're talking about Jesus, talking about his divinity. So when we look at the context of when Jesus is brought to trial and he's brought forth to Caiaphas, which is the high priest, it reads, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at the distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And the chief priests, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forth, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you hereafter, key into this, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he's spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have to witness? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. So this is interesting in the point where Caiaphas knew when Jesus was talking about, when he mentioned, he asked him, are you the Son of God? And he mentioned several other things. But when Jesus mentioned, when you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven, he knew very well Second Temple Judaism. He knew very well what Jesus was referencing, him being God manifested in the flesh, being his divinity. Amen. As we move on, so we're going to continue to see how they view Jesus. When we look at Talmudic Judaism, when we look within the Talmud, according to the Talmud, it's in Psaltah 47a, Jesus was allegedly a disciple of Rabbi Joshua ben Perkiah, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, had an altercation with him, and for revenge decided to learn satanic witchcraft and arts in Egypt for the purpose of leading the people of Israel to sin. That's contrary, because Jesus always gave glory to the Father, always spoke highly of Moses and the law, keeping the law, always pointed, when he spoke his word. He did not deviate speaking the traditions of men, which the Pharisees practiced oral Torah, the traditions of men, because even Jesus states, when you look at the gospel, Jesus says that the traditions of men have made the word of God none effect. They were so much into tradition and other things and all. They were so far from God. That's why even when John the Baptist came on the scene and he was preaching and baptizing people out there in the wilderness and in the Jordan River, when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, he called them vipers. They were just people that were hypocrites, and they knew how to dress the part, act the part, but they were so far from God. So Jesus was no more than somebody that they believed that Jesus practiced the occult arts, was contrary to the truth. Now, they associated Jesus' power with satanic power and not the Holy Spirit. This is what we see when we get down to it in Matthew chapter 12, when we look at verses 22 and 25. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to Jesus, and he healed him, so that the man who was unable to speak and talk and could see. And all the crowds were amazed and were saying, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? So they're questioning. So Jesus is also fulfilling, when you look, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 35, it talks about some of the signs of the Messiah, that he'd be able to open up the ears of the deaf, open up the eyes of the blind, the dumb, will sing, all these things and all. And here we have Jesus delivering this man, which seems like it's a good thing. This man has a bunch of issues, demon-possessed, blind, and unable to speak. And an encounter with Jesus, the man was able to have sound mind, he could speak and he could see, and he's no longer possessed. But then here comes the Pharisees, the super religious folks. It says, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste, and no city or house is divided against itself would stand. So Jesus knew their thoughts, and they associate, this is considered blasphemy, because they spoke against the Holy Spirit, the inworking of the Holy Spirit, the miracles that Jesus did through the power of the Holy Spirit. They associated the power of God being the power of demonic or satanic powers. That's what you get into some of the writings in the Talmud, that they believe that Jesus was a sorcerer. So we see this, and we fast forward and we look to see how they really don't, within Judaism, they don't hold a very favorable view of Jesus up until this day. And it's like Jesus still a thorn in the flesh. And even Gamaliel had told, when people were trying to persecute the disciples and some other stuff, he was like, just leave him alone. If, and I'm paraphrasing, like, if it's not of God, it'll come to naught, it'll soon fizzle out. And Jesus being the biblical Jesus, the Jesus God manifested flesh, his gospel has gone on for over the last 2,000 years. So when we look at other writings within the Talmud, in Sanhedrin 43 and 8, relates to the trial and execution of Jesus. And it says his five disciples, which is, contradicts the word, because it says that Jesus had 12 disciples, 11 walked with him, one being of the devil, which is Judas. It says, and here Jesus is a sorcerer who has enticed other Jews to apostasy, and Herod is sent to call for witnesses in his favor for 40 days before his execution. No one comes forth in the end, and he is stoned and hung on the eve of Passover. So here's their little tidbits of their view of Jesus and his five disciples, which he had 12, and he mentioned that he's a sorcerer and all these other things and all. And he was stoned and hanged in the eve of Passover. So sentiments that is definitely spirit of Antichrist. Will we move on? When we look at other views within the Talmud, it mentions Jesus is mentioned in the Babylonian Talmud and the Tractiat, Gittin 56b and 57a as one of the three greatest villains in Jewish history, along with Titus, the destroyer of the Second Temple, and Balaam, the prophet of the nations. All three are in hell. So they believe Jesus is in hell, where they are serving punishment for their misdeeds. So in Talmudic Judaism, their view is that Jesus is in hell. He's one of the three greatest villains of Jewish history, along with Titus and Balaam, just very much contradicts the word of God. Now, they kind of even disprove within the Talmud and their own writings, because in the Talmud, the sages teach that sorcery is undone when brought into contact with water, when we see in Sanhedrin 47b. But Jesus conducted, ironically, three miracles that were associated with water. So you have them saying all this stuff, Jesus is in hell, and he's one of the three worst villains in Jewish history, and he's a sorcerer, and all these things that are going on. But truly, if he's a sorcerer, and truly, if you stay within your writings that contact with water can undo sorcery, there's a contradiction there. So, one, Jesus walked on water. We see Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 36. Two, Jesus turned water into wine. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Three, Jesus healed the man at the pool of Siloam. Jesus made clay from dust of the ground after spitting on the ground, rubbed the clay in the man's eyes, and had him wash his eyes of the clay at the pool of Siloam. That's John chapter 9, verse 1 through 11, which gives you three examples that refute the Talmud that claims that Jesus, the Son of Man, the without controversy, God manifested in the flesh, was a sorcerer. So let's go ahead and conclude, wrap this up. So hopefully you receive something from this. I'm going to conclude from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And hopefully you got something out of this tonight. And we're going to read. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in an appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So, Albert Pike, he's going to have to bow his knee. Louis Farrakhan, if he doesn't repent, is going to have to bow Kenneth Copeland, all these people are going to have to bow their knee down. And it says, and of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. So, folks, be modern day Bereans, search the scriptures, search for truth, pray for spiritual discernment, that you don't be deceived or duped in these last and evil days, because Jesus is soon to come back. This is the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy podcast and Facebook Live program. We're about ready to sign out. God bless everybody. Have a good night. Pray for me as I pray for you. We are living in some really strange and really dangerous spiritual times as I speak. God bless.